Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and today we're in Centennial Park, and I'm talking to you about self-respect. Now, we do the Back on Track program, and there's seven aspects of the Back on Track program, and they're all associated with self-respect. The first step of the Back on Track is, how do you think? Now, there's a way to think that has self-respect built into it, because every human being, according to all of the teachings on the human nature, has a propensity to enjoy seeing beauty, to enjoy their day, to enjoy feeling good in their brain. Now, it doesn't feel good in your brain if you're charged up emotionally, stressed, anxiety, worry. These things screw up our day. So self-respect starts with the premise that if your brain is off track, if your brain is out of sync, if your brain is full of worry and anxiety, then you're not going to have a good level of self-respect. You're going to feel bad about life. You're going to feel bad, therefore, about yourself, because this thinking process, really, at the end of the day, is who you are. It's not what you think that determines who you are, it's how you think. And so stress, anxiety, anger, frustration, worry, all these things add up to sleeplessness, add up to a benign life, and no matter how much they pay you, if you're having a shit life, if you're thinking shit, then life will be shit. Garbage in, garbage out. So the first step of self-respect is learn the process of thinking that eliminates anxiety, worry, stress, fear, guilt, etc., etc. And we call this the discard process, but it's about understanding how the universe works, and embracing that. So it's mobile meditation in a sense, but it's more profound than that, because it's inspiration. And in the state of inspiration, you will see the beauty of life no matter what happens. You will not be circumstantially driven. Your brain will be able to reinterpret, retranslate, retranscribe, reconsider the whole perspective of the world around you. And therefore, you won't be a victim. You won't be subject to your partner's whims and fantasies. You won't be subject to any of this. You will really take control and be in charge of your life. This is a really important step. The second part of self-respect is how you treat your body. Now, let's think about it. Is your body a temple? Well, I don't know. That's a little bit of a quiz that I can't explain. But I do know that a person who has no self-respect doesn't care what goes down their mouth, doesn't care what goes into their body, exercises just because it makes them look good, but it's lack of self-respect, because what goes in the hole just under your nose really determines how you're going to be for the whole of your life. So self-respect and cellular health has got to be aligned. You can't say, oh, I've got self-respect and here's a couple of gallons of alcohol down my throat. Oh, I've got self-respect and here's a steak night after night. I've got high self-respect and here's some Kentucky Fried Chicken week after week. You know, these things are associated. We don't have to be Ned Kelly. We don't have to be Einstein. We don't have to be someone really super smart. We don't have to be some rocket scientist or Paul Hawkins. We don't have to be anybody really super clever to work out that what goes down the hole underneath your nose has got to have some association with self-respect. And you see the huge, humongous fat people who walk around America and Australia and Europe, and they've got lots of money but no self-respect. You can see it's not rocket science to see that you can separate money, wealth and wealth creation from self-respect. And that's pretty sad, because some people can actually generate a lot of money and a lot of wealth by corruption rather than by inspiration. So I think this is the second step, and we really are paranoid in a way about what goes down the hole underneath your nose, and therefore what comes out the hole underneath your spine, because it's all associated, as you can well imagine. And if what goes out the hole down below your spine it doesn't even hit the water in the toilet, then you know you've probably got too much fiber in your diet, and what goes into the toilet, it doesn't even make such a splash and hits the concrete and cracks the porcelain, you know you may need a bit of fiber in your diet. So, you know, we can tell pretty much from what comes out the hole at the end of your spine, pretty much the state of what goes in the hole underneath your nose. It's all very connected, as you can visualize for yourself. And so the quality of your poo and the quality of your eating and the quality of your life and the quality of your self-respect is all tied up, and we create a very tight, neat bridge between these things. And we start the process of self-respect firstly, as we said, with thinking; secondly, as I've just mentioned now, with cellular health. The third aspect of self-respect is how you dress, what your environment looks like, how tidy you are, how clean everything is, your fingernails, your toenails, your socks, your undies. And horrific realization is how many men just don't give a shit about the bright orange underpants they're wearing because they think nobody's going to see it. But that's lack of self-respect, because self-respect starts with what other people can't see. That's why it's called self-respect. It's respecting the self that other people can't see. And then it bridges and develops from that point on. And so I really want to say that your environment, your work environment, your home environment, your cleanliness of your desk, your cleanliness of your laptop, your hard drive, and then the quality of your clothes, what you're trying to say to people, what you're trying to project into the world, this stuff is really critical for self-respect. And we do a lot of work to make sure that self-respect is reflective of where you're going, reflective. So the fourth thing is priorities. Now, I know people who act in terms of their priorities like they're a child mining service, or a housekeeper, or a cleaner from the gardening company. And these people are earning $100, let's say $100 an hour, and they're doing work that is worth $10 an hour, and they're wondering why their self-respect has gone down the toilet. Or they might be doing social work, out handing out cups on a Friday night to people, when they really, their intelligence and their capacity could be that they actually run the company that hands out the cups on a Friday night to people in need. There's no need to get your hands dirty just to prove that you're a socially conscious human being. There's no need to immerse yourself in the mud and the poo to prove that you are humble and got a social conscience. You can run the business. You can contribute with just simple bucks. You don't have to get your hands, don't have to get a needle in your arm. You don't have to do all this stuff just to prove that you're a good guy or a good woman or a good person. You can do a lot of things at the level of your consciousness. You can do a lot of things that validate you as a socially conscious person without getting your hands dirty. This is priorities. It's the same at work. You know, you can prove that you're a great leader. You don't have to go and do the photocopying just to show everybody that you're humble and simple. That's ridiculous. So prioritization is understanding your values. What are your values? What's your intrinsic? What's your extrinsic values? What are the values of the business you run? And sticking to them. And this discipline of sticking to your values really comes to the top, I would say, as one of the single highest variables in self-respect. People who have no self-respect will say they want one thing, which require a set of values to be aligned with what they're doing, and then act in a way which is low, of almost low priorities and low values. And this really, this disconnect between values is really harmful. So we do a lot of work on getting your values and your priorities and your top three priorities of your working day and your working life and your living life aligned. Sometimes people go home and act in the house like as I say like a housekeeper, when really what the kids want is your presence. You've just got to think really hard about what you're doing versus what you're valuing. The fifth thing is the most important part of self-respect, because it links you across into your self-worth. And your self-worth is derived from your dreams, your vision. And in the fifth step, this is the fifth step of self-respect, is to have a dream and to be able to communicate that dream to other people. Sorry about this, car's going past, never mind. To be able to communicate your vision to other people. So first step is to have a dream. Second step is to be able to communicate that dream to other people. There's no use having a dream you can't communicate. That's just a waste of breath. But there's a great, great necessity to have a dream that that holds your self-worth and to believe you're capable of doing something really profound in the world. So that's what I would say is the fifth, sixth thing, really simple stuff, is how you talk to yourself. Now, people go so self-critical and they say all or nothing statements like, I'm not very good at that, or I can't do this, or I don't do that, or I do this, I don't do that. And these are all or nothing statements. And because nothing's ever missing, just changes in form, it's far wiser to be able to say, I sometimes do this and I sometimes do that. All right, I'm getting a lot of noise in the background. Time to pack up the podcast. Obviously, they're telling me to move myself somewhere else, so I will. And I'll let you have the day to yourself. Self-respect, it's how you act. It's your behavior. If your self-respect does not marry with your self-worth, which are your dreams, you're going to beat yourself up mercilessly. So it's really simple. It's not rocket science. You don't have to be Houdini to get through all this. It's really simple. All you got to do is know your dreams, know what you would love to create, believe in that, have discipline to hold it, fight for it, wrestle for it, stay committed to it, and then act in a way that looks like you're already doing what your self-worth has determined. In other words, your self-respect comes from acting as if you're already doing what you're dreaming. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. If you need any help, just give me a holler. Bye for now.